I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
This is the Friday edition of KETR's Locker Room. It's Friday, October 11th, here on your station. Cooper Welch and Taylor Phelps here with you. Jordan's not here yet. He may join us at a later time in this podcast, but right now it's just me and Taylor. So, first, Taylor, Tigers and Red Sox. The Tigers officially beat the A's. That's what Jordan wanted to happen. That's who he wanted to face, the Red Sox. So, who do you got in this series?
Gosh, Cooper, the Red Sox have just been playing so well, but as you know, the Tigers have a great manager, and there's just so much success around that franchise, as there is with the Red Sox. But the Red Sox are kind of coming off some times recently when they haven't been as good.
Right.
And so I do think it's going to be a Red Sox series just because I think the momentum's in their favor, and I think the Tigers are just successful. Like, the Tigers are like the Spurs, and the Red Sox are like, you know, the people on the come up who are going to be good, it looks like, for a few more years, and the Tigers have just been successful time and time again.
Yeah.
Or over the last couple of years at least. But, I definitely, in that series, I think I pick the Red Sox, and in how many games they win, I think it goes six or seven.
Right.
I'd probably go six.
Okay.
But yeah, it's going to be a late game series.
Yeah, I see it going at least six. It's kind of weird how sports changes. I mean, the Red Sox were the worst team in baseball last year, and now they're playing for a World Series.
Exactly, and in baseball that can happen just because of the way contracts are set up. And we've talked about that before. But you wouldn't see that in other sports. You won't see the Wizards winning next year, and you won't see the Jaguars in football winning. So,
no.
But baseball, that's, I guess, the beauty of it is that if you got money, you can be good.
You can be good. I say Red Sox win in six games as well. Miguel Cabrera, if he was healthy, I think they could win. But they don't have enough offensive firepower without him to really win a bunch of games. Who's your MVP for this series?
You know, Cooper, I don't know my specific MVP in this series alone. First of all, because they haven't started playing yet.
Right.
But just from sheer, I'd say the Boston fans are an MVP just because I think, you know, that they're fans that nobody else really has, and their home field advantage, I think, is greater than just about anybody in baseball. And so I think that's a possible MVP. But as far as a player perspective, there's so many guys on the Red Sox team, and I say Red Sox because I picked them to win, that can just come out and have a phenomenal game. And personally, one of my favorites is Dustin Pedroia. So I would say Pedroia is my MVP all the time. But, you know, we'll have to really wait and see who's gonna show out.
Yeah, I agree. I think for the Tigers, it's going to be Justin Verlander. I know Max Scherzer was the guy everyone was talking about going into the postseason. But he's allowed a lot of runs this past few games.
And we've seen other articles that people talk about, you know, Max Scherzer has a good team, and that's why he wins.
That's why he wins.
It's not just about his pitching.
Mm-hmm. So I think for me, Justin Verlander has the best chance to be the MVP of this series.
I would agree with you.
What about your least valuable player?
Least valuable player, you know, and I say this because of, I think, overratedness, is Max Scherzer.
Okay.
I think that, he's a good pitcher, don't get me wrong. But I don't think he's the best pitcher in baseball, and I don't think he's going to make that big of a difference. What, is he going to pitch one, maybe two games when it goes late?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to be the difference in the series, and I think that's why he's maybe not the least valuable, but he's the most overrated, I think, more. And I think that's kind of where I'm going with this question in least valuable. I think everybody on the team is valuable in some capacity.
Right.
But who are people going to make a bigger deal of? If the Tigers lose, they're going to blame Scherzer on the games he pitches, when it's not necessarily going to be his fault.
Yeah.
Because he'll play the same way he's played all year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that maybe the Red Sox are just better.
Yeah. I see it being Miguel Cabrera because he had such a great season, such a great regular season, and then getting injured. You know, he's had, I think, one home run the entire postseason, hasn't performed
very well the past few weeks. So I think unless he really turns it around, he's going to get the most of the blame for this. What about the Cardinals and Dodgers series, which starts tonight? Who do you have in that series?
Man, I wish that the Cardinals weren't there.
Yeah, I wish the Pirates.
Just because it would have been really interesting to see the Pirates and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm leading this series more with my heart than my brain, and when I say the Dodgers, just because, like we talked about the other day, they're that team that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So I think everybody whose heart's broken because their team's not in it, that's the team that they're behind, and me as well. And the Dodgers have just had so much excitement around them this year that I think they'll pull it out. I think the Cardinals are like the Tigers in that they've been here so many times that I don't know if it becomes old, but I don't think you're as motivated or focused as the other team. And not that you're not motivated or focused, but once you've done something a bunch of times, the newness of it starts to wear on you, and it's not the same.
Yeah,
it's not the same as your first one. You don't come with the same. It's hard to come with that same energy. And if there's any team that has more energy than anybody else anyway, it's the Dodgers.
Mm.
And I think that they'll pull this series out. I think it's going to go six or seven games, strictly because, like the Tigers, the experience is going to win games for St. Louis.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Here's one thing to cheer for both the Dodgers and the Red Sox. Will Middlebrooks is from Texas. He's playing for the Red Sox. And Clayton Kershaw is from Highland Park. I met a guy that went to high school with him when I was at a wedding last weekend. So those are two guys to cheer for, two teams to cheer for, because they've got Texas natives.
Strictly the Texas.
Yeah. So stick. I don't know anybody that's from Texas on the Tigers or the Cardinals. I'm sure there's somebody, but you got to cheer for those starting guys that are on the Dodgers and the Red Sox. And Will Middlebrooks is actually, I think, from Greenville, so that's something to keep in mind. Who's your MVP for this one?
I think the potential to be for the MVP is, I think Yasiel Puig's energy is so high that I think he can really make the difference. He's not gonna. I don't think he'll be the best player, but the biggest difference maker, I think, is him. I think him playing well helps the Dodgers so much, and just the energy he brings, just the hustling for balls,
right?
His whole package is such a benefactor for the Dodgers that I think that he becomes the MVP if he plays up to what we've seen him be able to do.
Yeah, if he plays to where he was in the regular season, he could definitely be the MVP of this series. What about LVP in this one?
It's just, you know, the Cardinals are so, they're so experienced, and they're such a strong team that it's hard actually to pick against them.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers are kind of the same way, in that they have so much energy that everybody has a job, and that's any team. But a least valuable player I can't pinpoint now just because I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to say somebody who could be, I think I'd say Yasiel Puig the same way.
I agree.
I think as if anybody came out and was, if he was flat, I think the Dodgers have no chance.
Yeah.
And I think it all rests in his shoulders. He can go from MVP to LVP like that.
Very quickly. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. I think it's going to be all on his shoulders, which is maybe not fair for a rookie.
Not fair at all.
But when you succeed, you've got expectations.
And we've seen the energy level in that stadium is ridiculous when he's playing well. When he does one, he can change the whole game off one play. And there's not a lot of people who can do that.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, what about what about World Series predictions? Who you got winning the World Series this year?
Again, I hate making predictions because I all too often go with my heart instead of what I'm actually thinking. I want to say the Dodgers' energy is at such a high level and has been all season, and there's so much momentum behind that team, because I really think momentum carries championship teams.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that are on a hot streak, you see it in the NFL every year. Every year, there's some wild card that makes it to the Super Bowl or wins the Super Bowl, or at least a championship game.
Yeah.
So I think that momentum often, all too often, goes underrated, And in this case, I think that the Dodgers have easily the most momentum. And I think the Red Sox are second, and that's why I think that those two teams will show up in the World Series. And I think the Dodgers will pull it out. At that point, I do think that the World Series is not going to last more than six games.
Okay.
And I said 6-7 on these championship series.
Yeah.
Whereas the World Series, I think, is going to be, you know, 5-6.
Okay.
Because I think, you know, somebody's going to get on a roll. One of these teams is going to get all the momentum, and then it's going to be over. Yeah, yeah, and it'll win a few in a row at least.
I can see that. I think I'm going to have to go with the Red Sox. I think they're just a little bit deeper as a team. They're a little bit more skilled at each position on the field. And they obviously aren't relying on a bunch of rookies to win games. So I think I'm going to go with the Red Sox.
And some of these guys have been there before, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they've had their down year, but there's experience there, too.
Yeah.
Whereas the Dodgers, it's kind of like,
they've
let's
never
get
been
it done.
There. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's going to be the Red Sox, and I'm going to say six games. I think that's going to be what they'll need to win. But I do think it's going to be pretty lopsided no matter what. Even if it goes to six games, it's going to be, you know, two aberrations in there, and then the four wins the Red Sox have are going to be pretty big. Maybe those two losses are going to be to Clayton Kershaw. I don't know. But we'll see what happens. As I said, the Cardinals-Dodgers series starts tonight. Let's move on to basketball. Dallas Mavericks started their preseason just a few days ago. They're 1-1 in the preseason so far, and they've already got some bad news. Brandon Wright is hurt his shoulder. He has a small non-displaced fracture in his left shoulder, and he went on undergo surgery, but he is expected to be out indefinitely. Now, this is one of several shoulder injuries he's had on the same shoulder in his six-year career, missing the entire 2009-2010 season after surgery on that shoulder. So what do you think? You think he's going to be back pretty
soon?
Gosh,
I think he'll be back. He's such a – I've said energy about 100 times in this show.
Right.
But he's such a high-energy guy, and I love watching him play. What's surprising to me is I can't believe that he's been in the NBA for 6 years. It seems like – you know,
it's a rookie.
He's
or
a
something.
Rookie. Yeah. It seems like he's a second year player or something. And I know he didn't come out and immediately start playing, but you know, this is a guy that I think all Maverick fans want to see have success. Just
definitely
because of the kind of guy he is. You know, he comes out, he plays hard, he puts in the work, and it's sad to see a guy like this hurt his shoulder again after, you know, the multiple injuries he's had on it.
Yeah.
But that's the life of an NBA player. I mean, you're going to have a nagging injury, and just about everybody has one. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is going to, you know, it's a small fracture in his shoulder, non-displaced. And he's not getting surgery. I don't think this is going to be anything
very big.
I think he's going to take the time off that he needs to, which he should, and he'll be back fine, because I don't think he's as vital a part of the team as, like, if Dirk was going to be hurt or Monte Ellis was going to be hurt. But he's a big part, too. So
right.
We need him back as soon as possible, but he needs to get the rest that he needs.
Right. Well, you mentioned Monte Ellis and Dirk and other free agency moves they made this year. What do you think the Mavericks are going to do this year? You think they go 40 wins, 50 wins, make the playoffs?
I think they're a 500 team.
Okay.
I really do think they're a 500 team.
So 41-41?
About 41-41, which is kind of close to what they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I only think that, I think they're a much better team than last year. But I think the rest of the Western Conference
got way better. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's scary, because now a team like the Lakers, who had Dwight Howard on a poor team, now Dwight Howard's on a really good team in Houston. And Oklahoma City's still going to be strong, as we know. The Clippers got a better coach. They really didn't make any other moves.
They lost a few people, actually.
They lost a couple people, but, you know, the coaching move, I think, is better for them.
Yeah.
Because I think that Doc Rivers is a point guard kind of coach, and I think, you know, it's going to help Chris Paul. You know, the Warriors are going to be
very good.
Very good with the addition of Andre Iguodala. They were going to be good anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were. I would have picked them without Andre, if they kept everyone, to be a top four team in the West.
Yeah.
And now with Andre, I mean, they're looking to be number one or number two seed.
Yeah, and to me, it's crazy how they got him, because they got rid of huge, wasteful contracts in Richard Jefferson and Andres Biedrins and a few other guys they got rid of those for nothing. Like, they didn't take any cap hit. They got the player they wanted. That is a great
move. Andre Iguodala was seconds away from being a Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, Mavericks are waiting for Dwight Howard. Howard is stalling. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we going to get? And we finally got Monte Ellis. But as far as to be able to compete in the Western Conference, it's going to be really tough. And I'm leaving out several teams. I think Minnesota will be good if they stay healthy. I think they can be good. Portland should be great.
They should be very good.
I don't understand
good.
Why Portland has not been able to make the playoffs between Damian Lillard, LaMarcus Aldridge. They have Nicholas Batum. They just got the C.J. McCollum. They just drafted C.J. McCollum. They should be a really good squad.
Yeah, they had a very good draft.
But, you know, they've also disappointed in the years past.
Yeah, and the Hornets could be better.
The Hornets they've could even be better.
Eric Gordon coming back.
And we're
back.
Leaving out Memphis. Mm-hmm. I didn't even say Memphis, and Memphis has everybody coming back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be San Antonio. We didn't mention San Antonio, and they're probably a top three team still.
Yeah.
So, I'm telling you, the West is going to be... It's going to be nobody needs to watch the East because that's – I mean, people might want to see the Brooklyn Nets with KG for a little bit. But as far as that, that's locked down Miami Heat all the way.
Easily.
But the West is going to be a blast to watch this year. And I hope the Mavericks are in the playoff hunt, but part of me also wants them to tank. And we'll talk about that later. But
Yes, we'll talk about that in the NBA preview we're going to do in a few weeks. What about the Houston Rockets? We all know they got Dwight, but how good are they going to be this year? And then the second question is, any chance that Dwight freaks out again and decides he doesn't want to be in Houston and forces another trade?
I think this is the end of the road for Dwight. I think Houston is the place where he retires.
Okay.
And I think that because I think now he's got the kind of coach that he needs. I think Kevin McHale... being there is, first of all, was a guy who was a power forward but played like a center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was down low, kind of actually doesn't look like Dwight Howard, but kind of does a lot of the same things. Very skilled. He was a very skilled offensive player, but away from Kevin McHale. Also, you have Hakeem Olajuwon down there who's going to be helping him out.
Yeah.
And he's had help from Hakeem before, but now it could be on a daily basis. And I think he's going to be good with James Harden because I think he has just enough spotlight, but he's not what he was in Orlando, and he's not overshadowed like he was in L.A. by Kobe. So I do think he's at the perfect level of pressure and expectations that he needs to be.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be much better.
Mm-hmm. You have them making
they're going to be really good.
First or second seed?
No, I don't think that. I think they're like I think it's going to take a while to figure that out because right now they're not suited for Dwight. He's not a focus. Like their team recently has been, let's drive it, shoot threes. We might post up, what's the big guy's name?
Omar Asik,
that's a great keep that they kept
him. Yeah, although he doesn't want to play with Dwight at all.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
But
just imagine, though, for just a second, Omar Asik playing the power forward, Dwight Howard playing the center. Imagine trying to make a basket in the hole.
That's a great lineup, but I don't think it works.
No, it's not going to work.
Strictly because of players.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. If they were to be able to play together, but just like Powell, if Powell and Dwight were to be able to play together, I don't think Dwight is not very comfortable in like a high-low type offense with two big guys. Which actually I think suits Houston well to be able to spread the floor around Dwight and be able to shoot, which they're good at, because now you're not really going to be able to double Dwight and he'll have his way with anybody in the league.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as how they're going to do this season, I don't see them making it to the finals or anything. I think they'll win a playoff series in the 4-5 spot. And then get beat by whoever's number one. I mean, that's just my expectations for a team that has the lineup they have.
All right. You know, I have similar thoughts to you. I think if they face Oklahoma City in the second round, I think they can take them and maybe go to the Western Finals. But I don't see them making the championship round. But if they face a team like Memphis or San Antonio or L.A. Clippers, I do see them beating them. I just don't think Oklahoma matches up with them well.
So what does Houston need?
They need a point guard. Jeremy Lin's good, but he's not going to be the thing that takes them to the finals. They need to get...
So you look at Jerry Lin as more of a backup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a great...
He's a good backup. Yeah, I'd agree. He's a good backup.
He's a great character guy. I love seeing him have success, get a lot of money, but I just don't think he's the point guard they need. Maybe go after Ricky Rubio in free agency or something like that.
Ricky Rubio could fit that well.
But we'll see what happens. One more question about the NBA before we move on and take a quick break, come back and talk about the Lions. Jason Collins, he came out as the first NBA player, active NBA player to be gay, but he isn't on a team yet. He was a free agent when he made that decision. So what's the conversation going to be if he doesn't make a team?
You know, to be honest, I haven't heard much about Jason Collins. And, you know, he had a good career, but I don't think people... First of all, the league's not as center oriented as it once was.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't. There's not as many center positions open.
Yeah, and he's not an offensive center.
And he's not an offensive center.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing you're going to get this guy for is what, to guard Dwight Howard or to guard Gore Todd or somebody like that, or Andrew Bynum if he ever plays again. But Jason Collins is a guy who, even before the whole coming out thing, I wouldn't have signed him anyway.
Yeah.
Strictly just because of his ability to play basketball, not because of his character.
Yeah.
Great character guy.
Oh yeah. I mean, he turned around.
Great locker room guy. Great locker room guy. But as far as just what I need on my team and what's important, Jason Collins is not that.
He's not there.
So I think the conversation's kind of passed. Mm-hmm. I really think people are just looking at this and being, you know, that was a story that was good while it was hot. And it was fresh.
Yeah.
But now it's like, all right, we're done. We're done here about Jason Collins.
Yeah, we're going to move on. Keep going. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back here on KETR's Locker Room. All right, we're back here on KETR's Locker Room, Cooper Welch and Taylor Phelps. So now it's time to talk the Lions. They've got a huge game coming up against A&M Kingsville this Saturday at 7 p.m. in Kingsville, Texas. Now, this is the Chenault Cup game. It's the 17th one we've had. There's a few years where the Chenault Cup was missing, so we didn't actually play. But the series has been going on since 1991. So 17th annual Chenault Cup. Kingsville was 13-3 in this game, but the Lions won last year, 21-14 in overtime. Now, the Lions are looking for their first road victory since 2000. No, they got that. Excuse me. They got their first road victory since 2010 last week in southeastern Oklahoma amid the fights and everything else that went on up there and the mysterious disappearance of the last 2 minutes of game tape. We're not going to know where that went. But anyway, they're looking for their first road victory in Texas, though, since 2006.
That is a crazy stat.
It really is.
That really is.
Yeah.
You know, they've had victories even this year, Sol Ross State, a Texas team, but that's obviously at Memorial Stadium. And that is I think that really is a testament to how hard it is to win in Texas on the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've always played tough competition being in the Lone Star Conference. But, yeah, when I read that, I could not believe it's been since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, crazy. I was like a eighth grader, maybe.
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah, I was like an eighth grader, I think. And that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been a very long time, 7 years. I think that's like, they said close to 35 games that they've lost in a row on the road. So that's, well, in Texas. So that's not a very good stat. And the reason they have that stat and the 2010 record for, you know, road victories, period, is because we used to go beat up the Oklahoma teams a lot, or the New Mexico teams, or yada yada. The Texas teams in the Lone Star Conference are perhaps some of the best in Division II football.
Definitely.
They're very good, and Commerce hasn't been good in forever. So I think if we can get this stat taken care of.
I think this week is the game that it gets taken care of. I don't want to jinx them or anything, but when I look at stats and I look at, you know, the differences in Kingsville and us and just how they've faced up against competition, like you were saying earlier, Cooper, I do think this is a game that is very winnable.
Yeah. Let's talk about key offensive players for Kingsville, just so you know some numbers and names going into this. Their best offensive weapon right now is a freshman, Greg Pitry. I don't think I'm saying that right, but whatever. he's a freshman running back. He has got 26 rushes for 230 yards and two touchdowns. Their next best offensive weapon is number 34, Cornelius Shackelford. You've probably heard that name. He's a senior running back for them. He's got 40 rushes for 187 yards and two touchdowns. He performed pretty well against the Lions last year. Don't know if that's going to happen this year. Then number 7, Robert Armstrong. He's their senior wide receiver. He has 21 catches for 156 yards and one touchdown. And that's from 5 different quarterbacks. Kingsville's had a real problem. They've had a few injuries, some freshmen that they're rotating around, things like that. So they're not really sure who's their quarterback at this point. Their best one that they have non-injured right now is Dean Brantley, who's a senior. He has 6 of 10 passes for just 54 yards and two touchdowns.
But he obviously hasn't played very much. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully with our pass rush,
he's not going to get much.
Exactly.
Yeah. what about on defense, though? We've got Mark Severe. That's a pretty good name for a defensive linebacker.
His parents knew what was going on.
Yeah. He's number 41. He's got 28 tackles, 3.5 for loss, 1 sack, 1 pass breakup, and 1 forced fumble. Number 35, Brandon James, is also a linebacker and also a junior. He's got 26 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, 1 QB hurry, and 1 fumble recovery. Number 2, Robert Williams, who's a senior defensive end. He's got 24 tackles, 4.5 for loss, 1 interception, which is pretty crazy for a defensive end, and 2 pass breakups. So he's doing a lot of the J.J. Watt, stick your hands up, even if you can't get to the quarterback. And then Zane Brown, number 99. He's a senior defensive tackle. He's got 24 tackles, 5 for loss, 1 sack, and 1 QB hurry. So even on defense, they're really not that stacked.
And to be honest, I feel really good about when I read these stats because West Texas in week 2, it seemed like they had bigger numbers than this week after 2 games.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kingsville's just now, you know, catching up.
Mm-hmm.
But the quarterback situation's really going to help us out because I think that's been our strong point has been being able to hurry up the QB.
Yeah.
And I think from that aspect, we'll be really, really on top of this game. And it doesn't look like their running game is that great. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got a freshman running back, and nothing against Greg Petre, or however you say his last name. But, 26 carries for 230 yards and 2 touchdowns over, 5 games?
Mm-hmm.
That's not really that great of numbers.
No, it doesn't.
And that doesn't mean it's all on him either. That speaks for the whole offense.
The linemen, everything else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's talk some Lions offensive players. You want to talk about them?
Sure. Well, we know most of these guys at this point in the season.
Yeah.
But obviously Tyreek Rollison is a quarterback. Right now he's put up 102 passes, or wait, he's 102 of 175 in passes for 1,469 yards, a lot more than the 54 yards of the Kingsville quarterback. He's had 12 TDs and only 4 interceptions, which is pretty good ratio.
That's very good, 3-1.
Kejonovan Garrett, who's number 20. Usually call him number 20.
Yeah.
The freshman running back, 58 carries for 196 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 fumble. Not great numbers, but we've had a lot of switching in running backs.
Yeah, and
so
we're not that much emphasis on running in any way.
We're really not.
We're a passing team.
We got a quarterback with 12 touchdowns. So.
Yeah.
Vernon Johnson, number 6. Wow, the guy is a really good player, a junior wide receiver, which if you watch any Lion football, you know this guy by now. 24 catches for 492 yards, which is I mean, wow.
Insane.
Kingsville's number one receiver, 21 catches, 156 yards. You can do the math, but Vernon Johnson's averaging a lot more yards per catch.
Oh, yeah.
And six touchdowns. So half of Tyreek's touchdowns
have been to him.
So you can see how important he is to our offense. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our punter, Cameron Frosch, who was, I think, special teams player of the week last week.
He was. First time ever.
Has had 32 punts. For 1,283 yards. I'd kind of like to see those numbers go down. But obviously, West Texas and Midwestern forced us into a few more punts.
Yeah.
But we competed well, so overall, it was a good... those stats aren't too bad. Mm. One blocked punt, though, which isn't bad, though,
yeah.
Considering all the games we've had.
Yeah, only one touchback in his entire season so far. So that's pretty good. He's also just 170 yards away from the career record for punting yards at A&M Commerce because, you know, we sucked for 3 years.
Yeah, so he punted all the time.
Yeah.
Almost every day.
He's very close to beating Dan Robinson, who had it from 83 to 86. So what about defensive
which
players?
Which would be crazy if we never punted again all season. I actually think Cameron would prefer that.
Oh, yeah,
as much
sure.
as he wants the record.
Yeah.
If we never punted again all season, I think he'd be a happy guy because we'd be going places.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the way he's punting so far this season, he's gonna get 170 yards this next game, probably.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we should probably in a normal football game, if we're even playing well, we'll probably punt a couple times.
Oh yeah, for sure.
At least. So I think over the course of the next two games, we'll probably see that record broken.
Yeah.
Defensive players, though. We've heard a million times now, Tevin Moore, 29 tackles, 16 tackles for loss, five sacks. And the pressure he's been able to put on the quarterback has just been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. As you know, he's joined the 100-tackle club at A&M Commerce now, and he's been a very good player for us
all
4 years, really, yes. Charles Tuau is a junior nose tackle. 18 tackles, 13 tackles for loss, and 5 sacks. Again, 5 sacks from a different...
They're tied
for
the lead.
This is crazy. Like, to have that many sacks already in the year. And that, to be honest, they're probably both getting there, but Tevin has been getting a sack here. Charles has been getting a sack here. Mm. They've been switching off because there's a bunch of guys in the backfield, it seems like.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Marcus Four, who's our defensive back, has 21 tackles, 15 tackles for loss. And that's from a defensive back. 15 mm-hmm. tackles for loss. We're in the backfield. I'm surprised we don't have more offsides penalties as quickly as we get in the backfield.
There's a lot of defensive pressure coming.
And he has joined the 100-tackle club as well, mm-hmm. as well as joining the 100-tackle club. Also is Jake Williams with 12 tackles on the year as a defensive lineman, mm-hmm. 2 tackles for loss, and 1.5 sacks, which that's significantly less than the other guys, but Jake has been still really good, really high
player.
That's
as a defensive lineman who's not
just a
going
pass
for sacks.
Rusher. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's put our predictions down for this game. Who do you got, and what's the score?
I think we score a lot of points. Looking at the Kingsville defense, and I think, to be honest, this just on paper, this game makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I think we win. We're probably up in the 40s again. I think we're about 45 to. We're going to give up some points. I hope it's 45-21, but you know, that's my thought right now, but it could be different.
I'm going to go a little bit lower than that just because Kingsville always plays hard against us. I'm going to say Commerce wins, though. A&M Commerce wins. I'm going to go 35-21. I think the 21 is about
21's
right.
A pretty good defensive number.
So, I mean, it's going to be a good game no matter what. You can hear it online or on your radio, 88.9 FM or KETR.org, and you can see the game on JavelinaAthletics.com, I think is the link. Just go to the school's website. They'll have video. It should be free. If it's not, it's not going to be very much, and it's worth seeing this game. So let's move on to some other stuff, though. We've got games of the weekend that I wanted to make sure we talked about.
Besides the Lions.
You want the Lions, yes. But we got number 12 Oklahoma versus Texas in the Golden Hat, the Red River rivalry. Probably going to be a blowout Oklahoma win, but you never know. So
I would think so.
Yeah, let's hope Texas can make it respectable, but I don't think it's going to be that close. Anyway, that's at 11 a.m. on Saturday. If you're at the state fair, you know, walk by, see what's going on. We've got number 25, Missouri, who's undefeated in SEC play. Really a big surprise this year because they were terrible last year. And they're playing at number 7, Georgia. So that could be a good game. 11 a.m. also Saturday on ESPN. Then we've got number 17, Florida, at number 10, LSU. That's a very good matchup. 2:30 p.m. Saturday on CBS. And then we're going to talk NFL football.
Some Sunday games.
Yeah, some Sunday games. New Orleans Saints at New England Patriots. 2-4-1 teams that have very good seasons so far. Been really big surprises. And that's at 3:25 p.m. Sunday on Fox. And then, of course, got to mention the Cowboys. Huge rivalry this weekend. Washington Redskins at the Dallas Cowboys, 7:30 p.m. Sunday on NBC. So
big-time games.
Big-time games
and
coming up.
And finally a night game for the Cowboys. Seems like we haven't played a night all year. And obviously Washington Redskins team, really a game we got to win after Tony Romo's awesome performance last week.
500-yard
passing. And then two-minute, you know, terrible performance. So
And I think they can win. I think they can win because – you know, the Redskins aren't nearly as good as they were last year. So we'll see
not
what happens.
Near as good.
Which one of these games is your pick, though, to watch? If
the
you
best,
could pick one.
Oh, if I could pick one to watch? Yeah. Well, I'm picking the Cowboys, obviously.
Right.
But I'd also give that Florida-LSU game at 2:30 a look before the Lions play at 7.
Yeah.
So that would definitely be a good game to watch.
Yeah. All right. Well, be sure to tune in for the Big Friday Night Scoreboard program starting at 6 on your station 88.9 KETR. The game starts, as always, at 7:30. It's Commerce at Home here in Memorial Stadium hosting the Sunnyvale Raiders. So make sure to come out and catch the game if you've got some extra time. You can also hear all the scores from all across Northeast Texas. And be sure to send your recommendations for that Locker Room Athlete of the Week. We still haven't got any of those yet. We'd really like to get some to KETRLockerRoom@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at KETR Locker Room or go on Facebook, KETR's Locker Room.
Anywhere, we're everywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. You can call us, text us, email us, whatever. We want to hear from you guys, and we haven't got that just yet. Anyway, the winning nomination will be interviewed by us each week here on The Locker Room, so we're really looking forward to get this segment started if someone will get it started. Anyway.
It's on you.
It's on you. It's all on you. Right. For Taylor Phelps, I'm Cooper Welch, and this is KETR's Locker Room. We'll see you on Wednesday.